a show. The only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAPAHAMOUSE. We don't speak for any of them there, guys. We only speak for ourselves and not that well, as you're about to find out. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley.
And nobody, because Mark's still not here.
Yes, but we sprouted a peanut gallery since the last show.
Oh, yeah. We got three in the peanut gallery.
It's very
now.
Exciting.
Awesome. Say hi, peanut gallery.
Hi, peanut
gallery. You got to be louder than that.
Hi, peanut gallery.
There we go. That'll probably
you know
get
what?
That.
That reminds me. Who it was like, walk this way. You know, someone say,
yes.
Walk this way, and then they'd follow them walking
the same
way. That
was in Young
way.
Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah. Werewolf.
That'd be normal.
Werewolf. Werewolf. Their wolf, their castle.
Frau Blücher. Put the candle back. I love that movie.
No matter how hard I scream, don't open this door. Let me out of here. Let me out of here now. Let me out of here now. I think my favorite one was, nice knockers. Oh, thank you, doctor. It's not bad when he goes to light up a cigar. Gene Hackman. He lights the monster's thumb.
Gene Hackman?
Yes. Gene Hackman.
Gene Wilder.
No. Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman.
The monster goes to the guy's house, and Gene Hackman is this old guy in the house.
Oh, that's right. I remember. Okay.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Young Frankenstein, you should go see. Oh, what you really should see, because it's the time of year for it.
Christmas
What's the
Vacation?
Best Christmas movie of all time?
A Christmas Story.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Christmas Vacation.
I also like Scrooged.
Scrooged is good, too.
How about a little toaster?
See, people won't get that unless they've seen it. Christmas Vacation, you got to see it. Had to empty the shitter.
That's exactly what I was just thinking, the line I was thinking
Hey,
of.
If that cat had nine lives, he just used them all. Anyway. Oh. You know what that means. Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. We might be better than Mark and I at that.
Yes.
Of course, you and Mark might be better than he and I at that as well.
So basically what we're saying is that I rock and you two suck. Kind of. Yeah.
I could go there right now.
Okay.
Let me put it this way. She's been known to suck as well.
Jeez, old Pete, front your own wife out on the show. Sheesh.
I'm not
you
saying.
Are rude.
I'm just saying.
Okay, let's see. We are going to Portland, Oregon.
Ooh, I fried on mushrooms there. Walked off the edge of a roof because I was busy looking at the clouds in the sky. And I walked right off the edge of the roof.
So, what are we now going to do, the Pacific Northwest tour of where Bruce got loaded?
Oh, Bruce got loaded everywhere in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, at any rate, we're in Portland, where, and this is a really disturbing story, like, on several levels. Two boys whose names are not included in the story, obviously because they're way underage. They were 7 and 11 years old.
That's a good name for a store.
Now, they were arrested, but they can't be held because they're too young. They can't even send them to juvie. They were accused of trying to rob a woman with a loaded gun.
They can't send an 11-year-old to juvenile home?
No. 12 years as old as the cutoff. So they had to be returned to their parents.
So kids, if you're under 11, time to start causing mayhem.
Now, it doesn't say in the story, they don't know where the kids got the gun. And it was loaded. And they tried to rob this woman. She saw that they actually did have a gun and took. She was in her car. They were trying to carjack her. She'd gone out to her car in the church parking lot, and the boys went up to the side of her car and told her to give them all her money. And
she
put her foot on the accelerator and took off and called the police on her cell phone.
Stupid kids. You're supposed to get her out of the car first.
Yeah. Well, they
you've got a loaded gun. Pop a cap. I heard in the last show, if you shoot through the window, you'll get her with a ricochet.
Yikes. But that's just, there's something seriously wrong there.
It's Portland. It's Oregon. What do you want?
A 7-year-old involved in an armed robbery? Give me a break. That's like really...
Yeah, what's he going to do? What's he going to do when he gets older? When he gets older, he's going to be like a terrorist or something.
Okay, in Boston, Mass.
Yes.
Massachusetts.
The home of the clam chowder.
A company there called Drink Savvy has created a material that they are going to make cups and straws and drink stirrers and all sorts of stuff out of.
Does it have alcohol in it?
No.
Dissolve or something?
The company's called Drink Savvy. The material, when it comes into contact with a drug-laced drink, changes color and warns you of the fact that somebody slipped a roofie into your drink.
Awesome. So if I'm an alcoholic and my drink changes color, I drink it really, really fast because I know I'm getting loaded.
Yeah, and then you're going to get raped.
As long as I'm not in a gay bar, I'm okay. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Anyway, they hope to soon be selling the items online. I think the drink stirrer is probably the most realistic thing because you can use that at any... If a woman wanted to use it, they could use it in a bar. And
you can't rape the willing.
What are you, running for Congress?
Well, you know.
Yikes.
Congress.
At any rate, I think it's an awesome idea. I'm just saying.
That sounds good.
I mean, and not just like, I mean, I'm not just talking about like going bar hopping or whatever. You're going out for a drink because like, what if you're out on a date and you go out and you're just having a soda or something and you go to the bathroom and the guy puts a roofie in your drink?
Nobody roofies a soda.
How do you know that?
Because the reason why they use roofies in alcohol is because then you can claim that you were just drunk and that's why you did what you did. Nobody gets drunk off Diet Pepsi. Because if you could, Connor would be loaded like a mofo.
All the time.
Yeah.
The rate at which he drinks
We got a kid. This guy drinks. He'll go to lunch and he'll order a Diet Pepsi and he'll have like 11-5 of them. And yeah. I'm thinking if this kid ever finds beer... It's over.
And then we come home, and he walks down to 7-Eleven to get a double gulp.
Yeah.
Drinks a lot of soda.
Yes, he does.
Okay, now we are in Cape Coral.
Florida!
Thank you. Now, I want to quote the story. I'm going to quote a part of the story directly because I have never seen an actual news story from, I think this is from like the Miami-Dade something or other. The actual words in the story are, Cape Coral cops found a nude dude. Where did that reporter go to school?
A nude dude?
Peanut Gallery says California. Probably. He was a nude dude. His name was Miles Jarrett Overway.
Okay.
Drug story.
Yeah, drugs involved. Whenever it's three names, it's always a drug story.
Well, actually, this one was probably a drunk story. He was... naked in his car at a gas station.
So what?
Now, what I also find disturbing about this story is that when the police were called, because he was like in a state of inebriation in his car naked, the cops decided to take pictures of him before they told him to pull up his pants.
Well, they wanted to show that he was naked. And, of course...
Why?
Sell the shots on the internet.
Now here's a direct quote from the suspect. I went to go to the bathroom in my car in a cup since I have gotten when it usually I sleep with roommate.
How drunk was this guy?
Apparently extremely drunk because that's exactly word for word what he said.
Wow. Blood alcohol level 0.75. He's dead.
It didn't. His BAC wasn't recorded in the story. And in Kissimmee,
Florida.
I think it's Florida.
It is.
Osceola County. Yeah, that's Florida. Woman has been arrested for on charges of child neglect. Yvonne Rodriguez.
What bar was she in?
She wasn't actually in a bar. This, you know, I mean, if you're going to neglect your child, you might as well get drunk. But she left her 5-year-old in charge of her 3-year-old and her 2-year-old at home so that she could go and get her nails done. A neighbor discovered that the kids were probably home alone, called the police. The police came. When the kid opened the door to the police, he said, "Mommy not here, I'm watching my sisters. Can you watch us now?"
Oh.
I know. That's sad.
Oh.
So obviously the kids were taken to a foster care, temporary foster care. But wow.
Yeah, it's going to end up being permanent foster care.
Yeah, really. And this, obviously these are from Fran, Marco Island,
Florida.
Thank you. Bradley John Steiner.
Uh-oh. Drug story.
well, possibly a booze story. He may have been on drugs. Who knows? Naked, running down the beach. Why is it always naked in Florida?
Naked in Florida.
I don't know, but they're always naked in Florida. He crashed.
We need to go to frickin' Florida.
He crashed a beachfront wedding.
Naked?
Naked.
Awesome.
Started running back and forth behind the altar that they'd set up
in
the sand.
That's awesome.
Screaming, "Tourists, get off my beach. I'm a local." And then started throwing cans of beer at the wedding party. He managed to hit the best man in the back.
Were they full?
Yeah, full beer cans.
He's not an alcoholic. He was throwing full beer cans?
I know, that's true.
Man. Yeah, where was he stashing those?
It doesn't say. I know. I was wondering that, too.
I don't even want to know where he had one of them. Between his butt cheeks or something.
Yeah, he would have been able to run.
I don't know.
Well, and
that gives a whole new meaning to Mickey's big mouth.
Oh.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
I thought this was kind of cute, but it's not really a story so much as it is me standing in Target pointing and laughing. Whoever sets up, whatever the marketing genius is that sets up the displays for Target's book section, they have a section called Emerging Author, which is for like new authors, new books that have come out, stuff like that.
Right.
In the Emerging Author section, Target has placed the book Anna Karenina by Leo Tolstoy.
Leo Tolstoy, who died many years ago?
He's such a whippersnapper.
Didn't he write War and Peace?
Yes, dead
like in 19...
10? I don't know. I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
Emerging author.
Emerging. Yes. He's a new author.
Did they have him next to that other new guy, Charles Dickens?
Yeah. The theory is that the marketing department is made up of younger people. And the
who
fact
don't
that
know
the
who
new
Leo
movie.
Tolstoy is.
Yes. The movie Anna Karenina is coming out. So they assume this is a new writer. Because apparently they didn't go to school. Yikes.
Awesome.
Yes. Just another example of.
Maybe there was alcohol involved in that, too.
Possibly. You never know. Okay. Drug running story.
Yay!
U.S. Border Patrol found 33 cans of marijuana in the desert on the other side of the border. They believe...
Cans? Wait,
cans
on the other side of the border?
On our side.
Okay.
That hadn't been picked up by whoever was supposed to pick them up.
How many cans did they find?
33.
That means they actually found 62 cans, and they're only reporting... 33.
Well, at any rate, after investigation discovered that the cans had literally been blasted over the border through potato cannons.
Yeah, of course.
You know, those pneumatic things you can make out of those tubes. Yeah. So now they're...
Remember the guys that were using the, in the back of, they had the back of the pickup truck and they were using a catapult?
Yes, they were catapulting things. But now they're literally bombing us with...
With weed.
Weed.
Dude, I'm moving down to the border. And I'm, you know what I'm going to put on my property? Big nets to catch them.
A big Target. Blast your pot here.
Hola, ¿qué tal? Tu ganja en esta locación.
Okay, we have an apocalypse story.
Apocalypse now.
Yes.
This is the pork shortage?
Well, not only is there a pork shortage, but if you wanted to go to the annual Blue Ribbon Bacon Festival, you are out of luck. because the 8,000 tickets that they are selling sold in 4 minutes online. It was an online only. You had to go online to buy your tickets.
And where is this at?
It is at the Iowa State Fairgrounds.
Okay.
Yes. Now, this event has doubled in size every year for the last 3 years. They've had to move it 3 times to bigger locations. They're going to have to...
It's all about the bacon.
Yes, they're going to have to... They can't move it anywhere bigger than the fairgrounds. But right now, they're only taking up part of the fairgrounds. They're going to have to take up the whole fairgrounds next year.
8,000 people?
They're going to have to take up the entire fairgrounds
8,000 people wouldn't even fill the stands at the L.A. County Fair.
Now, you were limited to 4 tickets when you went online to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
4 minutes. Who the heck is going to this in Iowa?
People that dig... But they said... Oh, yeah. I think it's people that dig pork.
Well, yeah, but, like...
Bacon
are
lovers.
Are there that many people in Iowa?
8,000?
Yeah.
Yes.
I know one person in Iowa.
Yeah, no, that's not the only one.
Shout out to my friend Jan, who never listens to the show, but hey, what the heck.
Yeah, there's plenty of people in Iowa.
Ooh, I'm going to ask Jan if she's going to the...
The pork festival?
The Blue
she could be
Ribbon
a roving
Bacon
Recovery
festival.
101 reporter.
Yes.
Tell us all the goodies are made. You know, they'll have weird pork products, too. It'll be like pork margaritas and pork, you know, bacon ice cream and, you know, chocolate covered pork
bacon.
Dipped in pork. You know what I mean? It's like that new breakfast cereal, sugar-coated sugar lumps.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Oh, we've got time for one more, I think. I thought this was interesting, but I'm not exactly sure how it's going to play out. For a long time, philosophers have done it. They do thought experiments, which is completely bogus, but that's what they do. They have held that it is more likely than not that we are living inside a machine, that we are part of a video game in a computer. And
the peanut gallery says Tron.
Yes, Tron.
I'm thinking more like the Matrix.
Well, that is where part of the theory was played out. They think that the Matrix is probably closer to reality than we think.
Oh, so December 21st is when the game crashes?
Yeah, game over, insert coin.
Awesome. Was there a government grant for this study?
Probably, because physicists have now gotten in on it, and they have developed an actual experiment to test if the universe is really a computer. Now,
come on.
Now, what I did here with the story is that I've only got the beginning of the story because after this point, I understood nothing.
Oh, my God. You know what?
So I
We're
just
a
cut
gigantic
it off.
Version of The Sims.
Yes.
No one would decorate a house like this. No one would decorate a studio like this.
They said that it was a statistical likelihood that we're located somewhere in a chain of simulations within simulations.
Awesome.
I don't know how they're going to test it. I couldn't understand
When I worked at Earthlink, which was a highly computerized company, that's when the Matrix came out, and there was a lot of talk on how everything in the Matrix is completely plausible. How you could, we don't have the technology to do it now, but at some point we'll have the technology to kind of USB yourself into a computer for total immersion games and stuff, and it would be like that. And they talked about the guys in the IT department are like, you know, we couldn't do it now, but they're like in 100 years or maybe even 50 years or 20 years, we could probably do it.
I don't know. Either way, oh well. You got awesome pixels, baby.
Sweet. God and, mode.
And that is the end of the boozy news. The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines.
In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the new way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio, yeah.
I forgot we have a show to do.
Well, I guess that means we're back.
Well, I guess so.
Now that you picked up your mic and started talking into it.
Well, you pointed at it. What am I supposed to do?
The guy in the peanut gallery just said, oh, yeah, and it reminded me of the...
Ferris Bueller.
Bum, bum, ba-da-da-da, bum, bum, chicka-chicka. Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. They use that in two movies. They also use that in The Secret to My Success with Michael J. Fox.
Yes,
not that anyone cares about that.
I love that movie.
I did, too. Wasn't he, like, sleeping with his aunt or something? Was some weird... She was like...
No, well, married. I mean, related by marriage. I mean, she wasn't related to him by blood.
Well, he was his aunt, yeah.
It was his uncle that got him the
job. MILF on the loose. So, Shelley, we have a topic.
Okay.
Fran. Great. Fran sent it. No, Fran did not send it. Perception. Different perceptions. Different ways of looking at the same thing.
Perception is 90% of my problem.
There you go. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, I don't know. I think that, at least for me, before I got cozy working some steps, my perception of what other people were saying or doing or whatever was that it was all about me. They hated me. They were out to get me. You know, there was some drama involved. What are you doing?
Well, there's quite a bit of liquid on top of the table, and I was wondering if mayhaps this was leaking.
No, probably not. It was probably the hot liquid going into the cup creating condensation that happens with hot drinks.
Thank you, Mr. Wizard. Okay, so your perceptions.
Yeah, I just, like, at work, you know, if a couple of people were in the break room and they were having a whispered discussion and I came in and then they stopped talking, or it was, automatically they're gossiping about me.
Oh, they were, though.
Probably not.
They told me later.
Yeah, probably
not. We had to stop talking. Shelley walked in.
What I've discovered is that whatever my perception is, I have to mostly discount it because I'm probably wrong. If two people are having a whispered conversation in the break room, why would I even think for a minute it was even about me to begin with? And B, even if it was, it's none of my business.
Well, if they're talking about you, maybe.
It's not my business if they're talking about me.
Okay.
Because I was not invited into the conversation.
Well, then there's also perceptions like when people are arguing. There's what he said, there's what she said, and then there's what really happened.
Right.
Right? Because everyone goes off what their particular perception is of what's going on.
Right.
You know, I will make up a scenario. Someone's talking, someone else, you know, seeing a break in the conversation, goes to insert something. Person one says, oh my God, that guy's purposely trying to interrupt me. Why would he do that? Well, the reality is he's probably not purposely trying to interrupt you at all, but the guy's perception is that. As an example, I sponsored a guy for a while that had some, you know, had a mental condition, you know, which was okay. You take meds, you're okay.
Right.
But this person was schizophrenic. And what I learned real early is he would tell me things and I'd go, dude, that's clearly not happening. You know, it's clearly not happening to you. But what I got to remember is it doesn't matter what I say to him because he believes it's happening. And if he believes it's happening, he's going to take actions on it based on what he believes. So right. I can tell him 100 times, that's not really happening, that's not really happening, that's not really happening. But he believes it is, so his perception of reality was altered, but he's going to go based on that perception. Happens all the I see it happen between sponsors and sponsees, between people in the program, between boyfriends and girlfriends, all the time. You know, one person's got his idea of what's happening, then the other person's got their idea of what's happening, and someone on the outside looks at it and goes, I think maybe what you're thinking isn't, you know, it's reality to you.
Right.
But it's not the same reality that they have.
Right.
Now, have you ever had that with the sponsee that had a different idea of what should be going on than you?
I've had a couple.
Like every time? There's always that.
Well, what I normally get is the sponsees whose perception of what happened is always that it was someone else's fault.
Clearly.
And when you point out that everyone has a part in everything, even if your part is that you didn't, that you set yourself up for that or that you allowed this to happen or what, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent.
Did she really say that?
Yeah.
Or is that one of those things they just attribute to her?
No, that was really her.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, and I had a sponsee that was constantly like, well, this girl was talking about me and this girl was gossiping about me, blah, 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 blah. And it was always the other person and it was always their fault because I would always say, well, what did you do to make this person mad?
I'll bet I know who that is.
You probably do. And it was always someone else's fault.
Well, when I was out there drinking and using, it was always somebody else's fault. Always. I remember Mark one time was pretty sure that his parents wanted him to take that money. That's why they left it where he clearly knew where it was.
Right.
You know?
Of course.
I mean, my mom must have wanted me to shuffle in like a snake on the floor, literally sliding into her room to see if there's any money in the purse because she wanted me to take it. Or she wouldn't have left the purse on the floor where I could get at it. Mom, if you've never heard that before, I'm sorry. Might not have mentioned that to you. Now, then there's other kinds of perceptions. We talked a couple shows ago about things you shouldn't say in meetings and things because people have this perception that if you say the word sober in an NA meeting, they jump your crap. And if you say clean in an AA meeting, they jump your crap. And,
right.
And because their perception is that it should be a certain way. And one thing I brought up in that show is I had an alcoholic that was pretty set on that people shouldn't share as an alcoholic addict. And I said, well, that's your opinion, you know, because the bottom line is my perception is if they're in there trying to get sober, they can say sober or clean or whatever the hell they want as long as they're not getting loaded.
Well, I think part of that is, you know, as addicts and alcoholics, we tend to be hyper-focused on getting what we need. So you take that away, you take that out of the equation, we have to find something else to be hyper-focused on. And for some people, it's that perception of what's right or wrong to say in meetings.
I'll give you a good example. This is a perfect example. Everyone will get this. Woman walks into a room. Honey, how do I look? You look fine. Woman says, what's wrong? Guy says, you look fine. Like a fine wine, like fine china. And what does a woman say? That means something's wrong. Now, the perception of the guy is, you ask me how I look, I say you look fine, means I think you look fine. The woman takes that completely differently, correct?
Yes.
Why is that?
Women have a different perception of the word fine, because when women say fine, what they really mean is, you are completely effed up.
When did fine become something inferior? Fine linens, fine china, fine wine, fine dining.
That's a marketing term. When we use it, when women say fine, if you say, how are you? And a woman says, I'm fine. What that really means
is that's different.
I'm completely messed up in the head. I feel like crap, but I don't really want to
talk about it. Yeah, but if someone says, if you go, how are you doing? You go, I'm fine. That's different than the guy going, you're fine. You look fine. You look fine. You look fine.
Well, I don't bug you about the fine anymore.
It's like, it's because I drilled it in you that if I say fine means fine. It's like, honey, do these pants make my butt look big? No, it's your big fat ass that makes your butt look big. It's not the pants.
And I would like to point out to our listeners that I have never asked Bruce if those pants make me look fat because I know that I have a big fat butt. So I don't need to ask that question.
I would never say that. But there was a time once. There was a time once when I said something, and I've heard about it several times from Shelley since then.
What? What did you say? I don't remember.
You asked me something about your butt, and I said it could be smaller.
Yes, you did. I remember that. Okay, now I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been paying for that ever since. She's been putting small amounts of this abstruse drug in my food every day. I'm gonna kick the bucket any day now. Now, what other kind of perceptions? Like perceptions, I'll give you an example. Perception you get of a meeting. First time you go to a meeting, you don't know anyone there. Some couple people over there are talking. They're maybe looking in your direction and talking. You're thinking, oh, those guys don't like me. They're talking about me. I don't know any of the people here. I don't really like this meeting. You know, now my perception is I'm new. I'm not digging all these people. I don't know anybody. And the reality is those guys might be saying, hey, that person over there is new. We should go talk to him at coffee break and welcome them. But I might leave before coffee break because I'm feeling somehow my perception is they don't dig me.
Okay, but as people in the program, we're sitting in meetings, we have a little time. We see a newcomer come in. We understand all about skewed perceptions because we've had them and we know what they are. We know that we have to run things past other people because our perceptions are wrong. Don't we then have a responsibility to say, to go over right away
Absolutely.
And say hello and
Absolutely.
Greet the newcomer.
Shelley has a tendency to walk up to newcomers and go, get the fuck out of here.
I do not.
Oh, yeah. You've been taking after Mark too long. I've heard many shows lately where you're like, okay, screw them. Step over their bodies.
I have not.
Let me get to the meeting. You guys can fall by the wayside.
The only
reason I work with you is to keep me sober.
I am not as bad as Mark.
No, that's kind of true, though, actually. The reason you work with other people is if it benefits them, that's great. But it keeps me clean and sober.
Right,
that's what the big book says.
You want
to ensure your sobriety, work with a newcomer.
I am not as bad as Mark. You know that. I'm very welcoming. I always hand out my business card or give people my numbers.
And by the way, we have a Mark in the peanut gallery, and Mark knows in the peanut gallery. That is not the Mark we're speaking of.
Right.
We're speaking of Mark, show host. 30-second Mark. Epic pause Mark.
Oh, epic
Mark.
Pause Mark, yes.
Yeah, Mark will go to say, Mark, what do you have to think about that? And he goes,
well.
Yeah, he's got about a 25, 30-second pause. At that point, people are like checking their volume on their iPod going, wait a minute, are they there? What happened? So, Shelley.
Yes.
What would your final words on perception be?
Well, for me, I can only speak for myself. I know for a fact that my neuroses mean that...
Is that what you call it now?
Yeah. My disease means that my perception of whatever the situation is probably not accurate. Which is why we have sponsors, which is why we keep phone numbers from people that we rely on. We run things past other people. Because
necessarily sponsors.
Right. I mean, I'll give you an example. I was in a situation about a year ago, a little over a year and a half ago or whatever, where I was very upset because I felt that people were letting me down in a certain way. And the funny thing was I thought, okay, I got to call my sponsor because I got to talk to her about this. And I can hear her voice in my head as I'm dialing the phone. She gets on the phone. I immediately say what the thing was really fast. And then I said, this is a perception thing, isn't it? And she said, yep. And that was all we needed to say.
She said, see you later.
Pretty much. Because I realized that my thinking was skewed. Always run things past other people because we can't rely on our own perception of things.
Awesome. My final words would be, your perception of what's going on is almost for sure wrong. it's right to you, but it's probably wrong for the situation. And along the lines of what Shelley said, bounce it off someone else to see. Because it's so easy. It is, especially the newer you are, the easier it is. I mean, and I'm not saying that I'm immune to it because I have more time, but, you know, I've gotten to the point where I've effed that up so many times in the past that, you know, now someone will do something, I'll look and I'll be like, that's probably not really the way he meant it. You know, even though I'm thinking, oh, that bastard. And then I'm like, yeah, you know what, that's probably, you know, it's the whole walk a mile in their moccasins thing. You know, if you, the guy who cuts you off on the road, you're like, ah, you motherfucker, cut me off. Yeah. He's got a sick dog that he's taken to the vet.
That's my line.
On his, in his car seat. Well, that's what I mean. You don't know.
Right.
The guy speeding past you that cut you off on the freeway might be on the way because his wife's giving birth to a baby. There's just no way to know. Bounce that off another person.
Yeah, and never take extreme or immediate action based on a snap judgment that you make because of your perception.
Sweet.
Because you're going to get in big trouble if you do that.
Awesome. We've got our friend back east. That's Bruce.
Oh, the other white meat.
He runs at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
Wow. It's a fine, fine publication. If you want, you can subscribe to it for free. You can read it online. You can go check it out online. If you need some for a recovery home or a hospital or an Alano club or something, if you let him know, he will send you a bunch for free to strew about the place. If you want to join or start a franchise, if you're out of work and you want the 12-Step Gazette in your town, it will come already with like a bunch of, it's like a turnkey thing. Comes with a bunch of, maybe some national advertisers might already be included, and the stories and everything. All you need to do basically is sell advertising, arrange for distribution, and you could be making money with it. So check that out. There's also a 12-Step Gazette group on Facebook. If you look up 12-Step Gazette, you can find it, and you can ask about it there as well. So, Shelley, people are listening to the show.
Yes.
Thanks.
Oh, go to recovery101.net. Click on one of the shows. You see a like button or permalink. Click on one of those. If you are already a member of Podomatic, thank you. You've just been counted, and it helps us with our numbers. And if you are not a member of Podomatic, you will have an opportunity to become one, and you should because it's free.
And for fun.
You can add us to playlists. You can friend us. You can find out when the get updates of when the new shows are posted. You can,
if you follow us.
Yes, if you follow us. And you can like old shows, leave comments and topic suggestions. If you're going to leave a topic suggestion, we will do it eventually.
Unless it's completely stupid.
Or we've already done it recently. And leave it on one of the top shows so that Bruce will see it.
Yeah, leave it like in the most recent show, because if you leave it on a show from 6 months ago, I'm not going to see it because I don't go back and listen to them. I'm narcissistic, but not that narcissistic. We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. By the way, if you're going to send boozy news stories, the best one to send it to is recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you'd like to join the crack advertising staff, that is not the advertising staff that smokes crack, but it's the crack advertising staff. You can send us an email at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos, mostly of me doing stupid stuff, at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so darn seriously.
Damn, but that's okay. Everybody, oh, Shelley.
What?
Who's the lead out music by?
Eva Love.
Eva Love. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
Aren't you going to be Mark?
Yeah, but you always go before Mark.
No, I'm the last word.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Jesus.